Well, we're looking at the third chapter of Jonah, and Jonah is about to preach to Nineveh. And we saw that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So the Lord really reinforces that message. When you preach, I want you to preach just what I tell you. But you also have an idea that maybe there was something a little bit more to the message than just Nineveh is this wicked city, and that Nineveh is going to be judged. There's a lot in between being wicked and being judged that the Lord probably gave Jonah. We don't hear all of that message. It's about their reaction to whatever he says, however little it is or however much it is. And so we look at the third verse here, and this is, you know, Jonah's compliance to what God has said. So Jonah arose, and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So we have emphasized again the fact that Nineveh is a great city. I think Brother Ironside says, you know, Jonah doesn't hesitate. He gets up and he goes. God says, "Arise," and he arose. That's a good testimony. Matthew Henry says, "By this it appears that Jonah was well reconciled to God, that he was not now as he had been before, disobedient to the heavenly vision," which I think he does picture Paul in that. "He did not flee from the presence of the Lord as he had done before. He did not endeavor to avoid hearing the command, nor did he decline to obey it. He made no objections. He did not say, as he had in the past, or might have said, you know, the journey's too long, or he didn't say that the errand is too impossible. He didn't say that if I deliver that message, it's too perilous. But now, without murmuring and disputing, Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord." There is a testimony of the prophet. You really see, I looked at this verse and I kind of divided it up in two parts. The first part I call his calling. So Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. That's his calling. And the last part of this I call his challenge. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That's quite a challenge. And you really see in that calling his obedience. Jonah arose. And you see his objective. He went to Nineveh. And you see his obligation. It was according to the word of the Lord. So he's a man of obedience now. He's an obedient prophet. So Jonah arose. And, you know, remember the first time Jonah arose, you saw it in chapter 1, verse 3, but he didn't do it in the right way. Because in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee." So he's done this before, but this is a totally different attitude than the way he did it the first time. The first time he arose and it was in disobedience. Because he was trying to run away from the will of God, and he was trying to avoid fulfilling the word of God also. But this time he arose in a positive way, because he learned a lesson in the belly of the great fish. And arose means to stand up. You know, that is the first step. You can't do anything until you stand up. And we kind of learned that in verse 2 where it says arise and go. So you have to rise up first before you can go. Well, God says arise and go, and Jonah arose and he went. Verse 2 says arise and go, and verse 3 says Jonah arose and went. So he did exactly what God said. He stood up, and that is always the first step, as we saw last week. Arose mean to rise up, or to arise, and when it says he arose, those are the exact same words. They have the same meaning. God says do this, and he did this. But I was really struck by the fact that when you look up the meaning of, okay, you need to arise, and you look at the meaning of, and he arose, when God says arise, and you look at all the meanings of what it means, you see the provision and the potential for what can happen if people just do it. When God said arise, it means what you can be established. It means you can be fixed in your purpose. It means you can endure. It means you can be proven. The potential is there, and the possibility is there if God says, this is what you need to do. And the moment Jonah did it, all those things began to happen in his life. All he had to do was stand up. And all of those promises that God made concerning this is what it means when you rise up began to actually take place in his life. He arose and he stood up, which was the first step. And then when he arose and he stood up, he began to be established. He received strength to take the second step and the third step and the fourth step. But he had to rise up first by faith. Like we talked about the man by the gate, beautiful. He stood up, but when he was done standing up, he was walking and leaping. So it just really strikes me that when God sets before us this command to do something, Jonah, you need to arise. Within that command, Jonah had to see or by faith lay hold of all the possibilities and the provisions contained in that word. If I do stand up, then I will be established. If I take that first step, God will enable me to take the second step. The wonderful, I guess, truth that's attached to taking the first step after you stand up is that there is a provision and a promise that the Lord will give you power to do whatever you need to do after the fact, even though you don't know where that first step or second step and third step will take you or what lies down the road. Like Abraham went not whither, knowing where he was going. He took each step forward in faith, but he didn't know what the next day would bring or the next hour would bring. And yet he was established because and strengthened because he took the first step. So there's a promise and a power and a provision that God sets forth in the command that he gives. And Jonah's going to be established. He's going to be strengthened. And I think it's going to be depending on where he starts his journey. If it's farther away from Nineveh and not really close to Nineveh, even if it is close to Nineveh, he will be strengthened if it takes a day or a month or 2 months to get where he's going. Every time he takes that step by faith, not knowing, well, what's tomorrow going to be? What's going to await me there? Or what's going to happen next? Doesn't matter. He's just walking by faith and not by sight. So, but it's not until he takes stands up, and it's not until he takes the first step that he becomes established. The provision's there, but he has to take the first step by faith, and then he is established. And he will receive strength as he needs it, the moment he needs it, and not before he needs it. But the promise is, you will be established. So when God says, Jonah, arise, Jonah did it because by faith he saw that when I stand up and do this, I'll receive the strength that I need to do what the Lord has asked me to do. I may not feel the strength right now, but you take that first step, and I think he was energized. I think when God gave him that message, he was energized. I think when he renewed his fellowship with the Lord and reestablished that office that he had with the Lord, he was energized. He took the first step. And that's so important in our lives. Sometimes we want to feel the energy before we get up. We want to feel the empowerment before we go forward and do anything. And a lot of times it isn't like that. The Lord asks us sometimes to do things when we're the weakest, and we take that first step, and There's the strength that we need. It's right there. Simply because we acted by faith. And so the first meaning for a rose means to be established. And then the second meaning, as I told you, means to be fixed. And to me, that fixed, I think, really speaks of the purpose of heart that he had. I really believe it means that he wasn't going to change his mind. He wasn't going to back down and halfway through the journey to Nineveh, however long that took, say, oh, this is foolish, you know, I really don't want to do this, and come up with all the excuses he had before for not doing it. Once he stood up in faith, it's as though the Word of God and the Spirit of God took that purpose and just fixed it. I mean, he was not going to back down. And he needed to have that fixed purpose of heart because the task ahead of him was in an exceedingly great city, a pagan city, a wicked city. He didn't know what his reception was going to be like. Would they mock him? Would they stone him? Would they put him in prison? Would they persecute him? He didn't know how they'd react to a Jewish prophet coming to a pagan city and saying, you're all sinners and God's going to judge you. He had no idea how they'd react. And so his purpose was fixed, and that's part of how he was going to overcome whatever reaction that he faced. And I don't know we know from this prophecy that the city repented, but I don't know what the first reaction was. I don't know how long it took. I don't know if he opened his mouth that first day as he walked that city and spoke and everybody just, you know, felt the conviction, or if there was a little bit of resistance and he just continued to go forward and go forward, and they saw his persistence and his purpose and his belief in what he was saying, and it began to affect them. We don't know. But sometimes the Lord fixes us and fixes our purpose of heart so that we can go on and meet greater adversity and greater resistance. We don't really find the resistance mentioned, but I don't know what everybody's attitude was. So Jonah arose, and he arose with a purpose, and it was a fixed purpose, and he wasn't going to change his mind. And he arose, and one of the meanings was to be proven. And I looked at that from two perspectives, because I think Jonah rose up, and he knew that God was going to prove him, put him to the test. But at the same time, I think Jonah knew that he could prove God in the same way that God was going to prove him. God would meet his need, whatever that need might be, because he was accepting of the task that the Lord set before him. You know, there's nothing negative about being proven by God, because the positive side of that fact is, as the Lord's just waiting for us to prove him. And he'll always be there for us. And I think Jonah had that insight that however great the obstacle is, I know the Lord's testing my faith, but I'm going to test God's faithfulness. He can test my faith, but I'm going to test his faithfulness. And I know by that he will not fail me, and therefore I will not fail him. The other definitions for arose or arise, you know, arises shows the potential, and when he actually does it, he begins to lay hold of that potential. It means to continue and to accomplish and to be fulfilled, and as I said earlier, to become powerful. And so because Jonah arose, and only because he arose, he was able to continue. If you don't take the first step, you can't take the second and the third and the fourth step. So once he takes that first step, he is actually able to continue to go forward, not knowing what lies ahead. You know, all these other meanings show that what happens when God proves us, what happens when we prove him, he enables us to continue. And we're not doing it in our own strength. Whose strength are we doing it in? His strength. That's the only way that we can do that, in his strength. He puts us to the test, and we put him to the test, and there's a powerful result. We're able to continue despite the obstacles. We're able to continue whatever those obstacles may be. And I tend to believe that it wasn't an easy journey, and there were obstacles that were put before Jonah. And maybe some of those obstacles were the doubts that reoccurred and rose up in his mind where he thought, you know, this is going to be a tough task to do, especially if it was going to take any time to get from where he was to where Nineveh was. So despite persecution or despite whatever obstacles lay ahead, even in our own lives, we're able to continue because we're not walking in our own strength. We know that the ability to go forward once we take that first step comes from the new creation life. It comes from his life. Jonah, I believe, is walking in the power of in type in the power of resurrection life. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, that's dependence. And that's the ability just to surrender to God's will and God's word and let God bring us up and out of the place that we find ourselves in. I think Jonah, as he goes forward, the Holy Spirit just begins to energize him the first day and re-energize him the second day and re-energize him the third day. And did he, as he did in the belly of the great fish, remember those scriptures that so encouraged him and strengthened him? Did he remember other scriptures and let the Lord speak to him through the Word of God? I believe he did. And it also means to accomplish. So if you arise and you know you do so and you continue to do it the next day and the next day and the next day, you don't change that attitude of heart or that purpose of heart, then you are able to accomplish, which is one of the meanings or provisions for a rose or arise. You actually are able to accomplish God's will. And it's not really an accomplishment of the flesh. But what happens is when the flesh submits to the Spirit of God and draws power from the Word of God, then you're able to accomplish something amazing, whatever it is, simply because you're just a yielded vessel. And then he was able to be fulfilled. And sometimes that being fulfilled comes simply from just doing what the Lord asks us to do, even if we don't see the immediate results. He'll see results, amazing results after the fact, but I think before he gets to Nineveh, he starts to be feeling fulfilled because he is simply doing what God asks him to do. There's something satisfying about doing the will of God. You know, Jesus often talked about his whole ministry was centered around coming to do the will of his Father, coming to do the will of the one that sent him. And there was a satisfaction in that on a daily basis, not just, well, when I get to the end of the journey and the cross is before me, that's when I'm really going to be satisfied with doing the will of God. No, it was when he got up every morning and whatever a need was presented before him, whatever task that he had to do for that day, if it was to walk from Bethany to Jerusalem, if it was to sit by the roadside and teach those that came to him, if it was to feed the 5,000, if it was to heal the sick, if it was to personally instruct his disciples, whatever the reason or task that set before him was set before him, when he did it, he felt that fulfillment. You know, that was part of his joy, was not the end of the journey, but the journey itself that led to the end of the journey. That was part of the joy. And Jonah, if he is overcoming, if he is an obedient servant, then he can actually not be dragging his feet as he goes to Nineveh. I think he can be walking with a joyful step and a spring in his step, and encouraging himself in the Lord and feeling fulfilled because I'm no longer resisting God. And there's something so fulfilling in ceasing to struggle against his will and just fulfilling his will. And in the end, Jonah's going to become powerful. He may not feel powerful, but when God says, if you will arise and do this, that you will end up being powerful. And at the conclusion of his ministry, you saw how powerful it was. And he was more powerful than when he started. He was still a prophet of God when he started, but I think he had a totally different attitude, so I think he was more powerful when he started, after his experience of being brought out of the belly of the great fish and vomited on dry ground, after the 3 days and the 3 nights there. I think that gave him a different perspective, and he had a different aspect of power that he had did not have before, when he had prophesied before. And all the trials and all the obstacles that a child of God is going to face when they obey the will of God and are obedient to the word of God, all those trials, whatever the cost of those trials, whatever the sacrifices that come from those trials, at the end of all those things, we grow spiritually. And that is how we become powerful. That's spiritual growth. We grow in the Lord. And the whole purpose of every experience that he brings us through is so that we might become more powerful, that we might be overcomers, that we might overcome on a daily basis, and at the end of our life, have that testimony of being full overcomers, so that we can rule and reign with him. To be a king, you have to learn how to be a king. To be a priest, you have to learn how to be a priest. And you have to learn how to pray. You have to learn how to intercede. You have to learn how to judge. You have to learn how to discern. And that doesn't happen overnight. But every experience that you're brought through, and it's really just by doing God's will and fulfilling his word, strengthens us. And we end up being more powerful. And I think Jonah, each day he became more powerful because he was simply walking by faith. So that's what really struck me about this. When God said arise, and this is what it means, all these meanings, and Jonah arose, we see the provisional, practical power that results from arising in faith simply to obey God. God says, if you will do this, look at what this word means. I'll do all these things for you. And the degree of obedience determines the degree of power. And the promise is to enable, that the Lord says, when he says, I will enable you, is dependent on, well, are you willing to get up? Are you willing to take that first step and receive that enabling? You don't see it until you take that first step. And then you just catch a glimpse of it. But you take the next step, and a day later, and a week later, and a month later, you've seen more and more and more of that enabling because you kept going forward. So I think the whole purpose of the journey that Jonah's taking after he leaves the belly of the fish is a journey to strengthen him by faith so that when he finally walks through the gates of that city, he will be ready and he will be energized. So Jonah arose in faith. I think he arose without fear. And he arose and he just stood firm. There was no fear. There was only faith. And he just stood firm. And I think his experience that he went through taught him about the power of God. Even though it was a power that was manifested in discipline, God disciplined me. But the other aspect of God's power that he saw manifested is God delivered me. And gosh, if God can deliver me from the belly of this great fish, can he not deliver me when I walk through the gates of that great city and preach this gospel? I saw his power in a wonderful way, and his power has not changed. And so I think he's remembering more the deliverance that he experienced through God's power, and he's holding fast to that promise that if God has asked me to do this, then he will deliver me. And I think he arose in the power of a transformed life, which I think is resurrection life, new creation life. It's just a picture of what happens when you come up out of that grave with Christ. You come up in new life. And every child of God has this resurrection life in them. But how many of them really put it to the test? Use it. Walk in the power that's really there in that life. And so to me, when he had this transformed life, I think it was an energized life. I think it was a enabled life. I think it was an empowered life. All of those things. I just see Jonah going forward with energy. And I think he went forward, and he was going to continue to go forward, and he was going to accomplish his mission, and nothing was going to stop him. He's going to fulfill his responsibility, and in fulfilling that responsibility, find that he is fulfilled. So as we obey, which is arise and go, or arose, he arose and went, as we obey, we are established, just simply by obedience, and we are energized, and we're able to overcome, and we're able to be overcomers. I don't care how little the task is or how big the task is. If you simply do what the Lord has led you to do, then you will overcome. Now, the Lord may ask what we think is the impossible, because I'm sure Jonah, when the Lord said this to him, was thinking, you know, Lord, I don't know why you want me to preach to this city, because it's a big city and it's an evil city and it's a wicked city, and I don't think anybody's going to listen to me, but if this is what you want me to do, I'll do. You're asking me to do the impossible, but by faith I know you can make it possible. So whatever he asks us to do that seems impossible, what makes it possible is our obedience. That makes it possible, our obedience. So Jonah arose, which in that we see his obedience. And the next thing that we see is his objective. It's not a big objective, but he went to Nineveh. That's his objective. I'm going to go to Nineveh. He traveled to Nineveh. Now, God chose the city that Jonah was going to preach to. And it was a Gentile city, and it was an ungodly city. And I looked at that in the light of Jonah going to Nineveh is really a picture or a type of what Israel's true calling is, what they should have been doing and what they will do in the millennium. Because they are to be a light to the Gentiles. And they are not able to do that right now because it has to be the light of the life of Christ in them that gives them the ability to reach out to the Gentiles in this way. You know, Isaiah 63 says, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Well, that is a picture of the Messiah, but it is also a picture of the Messiah in his people when they have received him, when they begin to walk in the light of the Lord. Remember how Isaiah 2 starts out, and it talks about in that second beginning part of that second chapter of Isaiah, it talks about how that in those days all the nations of the earth shall be headed towards Jerusalem. They will be drawn to the city of Jerusalem, and they will say to one another, and they will say, "Well, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of God, and he will teach us his ways." Well, how will he teach them his ways? Through his people. And so in the last days that will happen, that the nations will allow Israel to teach them God's ways. That light ultimately is the Messiah, and it is the Messiah as seen through his people. But we see in Jonah a glimpse of the fact that that light and that provision for deliverance and the passing judgment passing by us comes from the fact that God's grace makes it available. God told his people that they were to be a light to the Gentiles. And when Jesus quoted that portion in Isaiah, and I think it was in Luke that he does this, and he talks about how that he was to be a light and he was to set the captives free and open the eyes of the blind. That is God's grace, not just reaching out to his people, the Jews, but that is God's grace reaching out to all men who have that need. And Jonah just gives us a glimpse of God's grace to the Gentiles, even though we know that the deliverance that they experience is for a short period of time and it doesn't last. And the other thing that I thought about it, not only is Jonah a type of Israel in their ultimate purpose and in the millennium of preaching to the Gentiles, but Jonah is a picture of the Apostle Paul, who is a light to the Gentiles. Remember, the Apostle Paul was given a ministry unique to him, to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to bring the gospel to the uncircumcision. We learned that in the second chapter of Galatians, Galatians 2, 7 through 9, I think, where the Apostle Paul has a ministry and the Apostle Peter has a ministry. And when Paul in the book of Acts is preaching, before he even starts out his ministry, Ananias tells him, or the Lord tells Ananias, who tells the Apostle Paul that, well, he's going to be a chosen vessel unto me, and he's going to bear my name before who? The Gentiles, and before kings, and before the children of Israel. So the Apostle Paul is a wonderful, we get a glimpse of his ministry when we look at Jonah, because Jonah's going to stand before Gentiles, and he's going to preach to a king also, just like the Apostle Paul did. And he is a chosen vessel, and he's going to bear the name of God before those people. And of course, as I think it was Matthew Henry said at the very beginning when I started out, when the Apostle Paul gives his testimony in the book of Acts, one of the things that he says is, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was called to witness to the Gentiles. And he was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. And Jonah was not disobedient to that vision that the Lord gave him, like the Apostle Paul. And of course, the Apostle Paul is one born out of due season. So gives us a glimpse of what Israel should do in the last days and what Jesus did through him. Turn over to Acts 13 and look at verse 46 through 47, because I think this really sums up what Jonah is experiencing here. Acts 13, 46 through 47. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he has been preaching in the synagogue, and some of the Jews have received it, majority have not, but a lot of the Gentiles that heard him were really excited about what they heard. And most of the Jews, we find, were really upset by not just Paul's message, but the fact that there were multitudes of Gentiles that were actually drawn to that message. And of course, they began to speak against Paul and contradict things that he said. So in verse 46 of Acts 13, Paul says, Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles." And initially that is the Messiah. I have set that my Messiah to be a light to the Gentiles. That's Jesus, but that is now, it should have been the Jews, but now it's the Apostle Paul, because they have rejected that light. And Paul is going to be that light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And of course the Gentiles are really excited about this. So Jonah here is a picture of what the gospel will be like in the last days, but he's a picture of the Apostle Paul also. And the reason for his ministry is this wonderful obligation that he felt. According to the word of the Lord, I did all of this because it was according to the word of the Lord. That's his changed attitude, and that's really why his ministry is so successful, because he did everything within the boundary of what God's word said. He did everything according to the word of the Lord. He said everything according to the word of the Lord, and he didn't deviate from that. Even though his flesh may have thought, well, I could say this because look at what I see. I could really, well, the Lord has said to say this, but I'm seeing this right here that is so wicked and evil. I could bring that into my message and really get the point home, but he did not. He so told only what God told him to say. It was according to the word of the Lord. He stayed within the boundaries that and the parameters that God gave him. But then I was struck by the latter part of this verse, because you really see his challenge. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And that just really spoke to my heart, because you really see Nineveh's might. It was an exceeding great city, and Nineveh's magnitude, a 3 days' journey. Exceeding means, you know, it was hard to measure it. A lot of times that word exceeding, when I looked it up in Strong's, was used in connection with gods, your deference to gods. It's and then apart from gods, the rulers and the magistrates and the judges, but it spoke of the reverence and the fear that you would have for those that were deities. It was an exceeding great city. It was great. It had a lot to boast in. Great means, comes from a word to boast, and it could boast. It was important. It had conquered nations. It had built great structures. And the fact that it was a great city was could not be denied. But it was a natural greatness. And Jonah had heard about it. And that's why I thought, boy, this is a real challenge, because he's going to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and it was an exceeding great city. And he knew it was a great city. Now he's about to see it with his own eyes. I mean, you can hear things like, you hear about Washington, D.C. and the capital and the monuments there. And it's one thing to hear about it, and it's another thing to actually stand there and see the capital of the United States, and to see the monuments and the structures that have been built there, or like when we went to Paris to see the great buildings there, the great cathedral there. It's one thing to hear about it and know it and acknowledge, yeah, it's great, and another thing just to stand in the presence of that greatness and not be overwhelmed by it. And I thought that had to be a challenge for Jonah to realize, I'm going to that city and it is an exceeding great city. The thing is, God didn't see the outward greatness, but I think God saw they had a great need. And he wanted Jonah to be able to preach from that perspective of there's a great need here, because there's great sin here. And he also wanted Jonah to show, in contrast to the greatness of the city, on one hand their great need, and on the other hand how great God was. We don't know that he said anything about repentance in his message, but somehow they they caught the idea that God was great enough to judge them. If he was great enough to judge them, he was great enough to spare them. And so Jonah looked at that great city, but I think he saw God's greatness first. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said that city was great before God. And he said all the greatness was in the Hebrew mind, because the word greatness, as far as the Hebrew is concerned, always was attached itself to God. And so it was an exceedingly great city, but Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says in the Jews' eyes, it was great because God was great. It was great to God. It was a great opportunity for God to show himself and to reveal himself. It was great to God. And my Ryrie Bible says it was a great city because the people in that city needed him. I like that. They had a great need. And then you see Nineveh's magnitude, the last part of this verse, 3 days' journey. Now, my Bible dictionary said that speaks of a three-day walk. And it possibly refers to walking a straight line across the middle of the city from one end to the other, or walking around the perimeter of the city. And I think Jonah probably did both, because he's going to cover that whole city. He may walk from one end to the other, but he also, when he gets done, may walk around the perimeter of that city. But he's required to walk, I think, in every neighborhood, and maybe go to every marketplace, every place where he sees a gathering of people, and preach his message. They may have had several areas where, you know, it's a big city where you could preach. And Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said, that's about 60 miles. You know, 3 days' journey. I don't know if it's 60 miles across or 60 miles in perimeter, depending on how you look at it, but Fawcett and Brown said 60 miles. And if you allow about 20 miles for a day's journey, you know, that'll take them 3 days to complete that 60 miles. Think how long, you know, to walk clear across the city in 3 days, or around the city, and it take 3 days to do it. And I think that was a physical challenge for Jonah. I think that, I wonder, did he go through the city just one time, or did he do this repeatedly? We don't know how many, we know how big the city was, but I don't know how many days he preached in the city before he stopped and went outside of the city and waited for judgment. Yeah, he may have preached the whole 40 days and then sat down to wait for that city to be judged. Think how exhausting that was.
The word of mouth spread most of it.
I know, yeah, it did.
They all knew about it, that's the main thing.
You know, did Jonah eat? Did he sleep? Where did he sleep?
Suppositions.
Did he sleep in the streets then? Did he just build a little temporary shelter and stop for the night and get up in the morning and start again? But it just took it took 3 days just to cover the city. That is an exhausting task. You know, I thought about walking through the gates of that city and seeing the size of it, and seeing the walls around that city, which were tremendous, and seeing the buildings in that city, and what that would have felt like for Jonah when he looked up and saw just how great that city was when he first walked through it, and thought, boy, this is a big task that the Lord has set before me. And then not only to do that, but to see all the pagan activity within that city, how that would have just made him shudder to see some of the things that were said and done there. But once he started, he didn't stop, and he didn't stop until he completed the task. And whether he just did it for 3 days or he did it for 40 days, that was a great task that was set before him. It reminded me of the Apostle Paul and his physical toil in ministry, because Paul labored night and day, didn't he? And I think Jonah labored night and day. And Paul said he labored night and day with tears. He says that in Acts 20. Of course, he was talking to the Ephesian elders. But I wonder if Jonah, as he went through that city and preached the burden of judgment, if he wept as he preached that burden of judgment. If, you know, night and day he preached and there was sorrow as he preached that judgment. We don't know. Paul preached night and day with tears, and I think Jonah may have felt that sorrow and that same burden. Isaiah wept over the judgment that he had to preach.
He didn't like it very well, so
no, but
had any sorrow.
But I'm thinking when you're preaching the word of God and you feel the weight and the burden of that judgment, that can cause you to identify with how terrible that is, and you see the people and the reality of those people. Don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think he preached half-heartedly. I think he proclaimed the full message. And he wasn't afraid to preach all the counsel of God. So there again, he's a lot like the Apostle Paul. He preached all the counsel of God. And it didn't matter if the message was for a sinner or for a saint. That same principle holds true. Preach the word, preach all of the word. He's preaching to sinners, but when he preached to Israel, that same principle holds true. And the same principle holds true today. So I like that verse. So Jonah arose and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, about 3 days' journey. What a task he has set before him.